Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed them. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." But they answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everyone sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. I wonder, have you ever had guests that have come over and stayed longer than you expected? Perhaps you had them over for lunch, you fed them as planned, and perhaps you even made a dessert. But as the afternoon wears on, they show no sign of going home. You could offer them another cup of tea, but you start thinking, "I need to get dinner ready." And all you have in the fridge are the leftovers of what you were going to reheat, and there isn't enough for everyone. What are you going to do? Well, I think that's a little like the Jesus' disciples must have felt. As the sun was going down, out in the wilderness near Bethsaida, thousands of people overstaying their welcome, with a dinner situation reaching crisis point. And we can really feel the disciples' frustration, can't we? They've just been out on mission and they've reported back to Jesus everything that they have done. Jesus decided to take them away, somewhere quiet, to have a break for a few days. But their rest is interrupted by the crowds that follow them into the remote countryside. And Jesus' compassion for this needy crowd seems to override his care for his disciples. He forgets about them and starts teaching and healing again. And as the day is dragging on, the disciples finally snap. All the 12 together come to Jesus and say, "Enough is enough. All this spiritual teaching about the kingdom, what about their practical needs for food and for shelter? It's time for these people to move on. Send them away." They're upset, perhaps, with the needy crowd, and they're lingering around Jesus. They're upset with Jesus for not caring about their need for rest. They're upset with Jesus, perhaps, for not caring about people's need to eat. You know what it's like when you get caught talking to someone and you're getting hungrier and hungrier, or perhaps you're getting later and later for that appointment. You've got things to do. When are you going to get away? Don't they get it? Well, I want you to see that Jesus is not like that. He cares as much about our practical needs as he does about our spiritual needs. So this week, as we look at this story, I want you to think about two things. There's really two things from this passage that I just want to bring out. It's Jesus who provides. And he provides through his disciples. Jesus provides through his disciples. And we're going to think about these in reverse order. So first we're going to think about the disciples and from their point of view. And then we're going to think about Jesus' provision. So firstly, the disciples. Well, we've reached a crisis point in the story, haven't we? The disciples come to Jesus and they say, "There's not enough food for everyone. We're in a remote place. It's getting dark, so send them away." But Jesus challenges his disciples. He challenges their common sense. And he says in verse 13, you give them something to eat. The disciples, their social batteries are empty. They are frustrated because they haven't got the break they were promised. They're running on fumes. They're hungry and tired. And Jesus asked them to do more. Not just more, but something beyond the call of duty, something no one should be expected to do. Feed thousands of people in the middle of nowhere. Are you crazy? This is seemingly impossible. Something they cannot do. You give them something to eat. Have you ever felt like that? That God is asking too much of you? Do you feel like that now? This task of parenting God has given me is too much. This person he's asked me to care for is too needy. My circumstances are too difficult, too complex, too hopeless. How can this be God's will for my life? Jesus doesn't always lead us down a path of least resistance. He doesn't always give us an easy way out. You give them something to eat. Well, perhaps you're like the disciples and give Jesus a bit of pushback. The disciples tried to reason with Jesus in verse 13. They answered, "We've only 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. Jesus, we don't have enough resources to do what you're asking. The food is not enough. The money we have is not enough. The time we have is not enough. The sun was going down." But how does Jesus respond in verse 14? He said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of about 50 each." He says, "Get ready to eat." He didn't say, "Fine, I'll do it all myself." He was just about to single-handedly make up a meal for thousands of people. But before that, he asked his disciples to be involved with what he was about to do, even though they didn't know what that was. He didn't act alone. The disciples sat the people down for dinner. They served the food and collected the leftovers. They gave the people food, just as Jesus asked them to do. But the disciples had to first step out in faith. They had to trust Jesus. They had to act now as if Jesus was going to provide in the future. Perhaps they started to believe that Jesus was the Christ. Perhaps the miracles that had gone before started to make them think that maybe this was the Son of God. How can we tell that the disciples had faith in Jesus? What demonstrated that they trusted him? Verse 15, the disciples did so. They had reasoned it out. They couldn't understand how they were going to feed thousands of people themselves. They told Jesus they didn't have enough resources. They didn't have enough money or time. Nevertheless, they did what he asked them to do. They sat the people down, ready to eat. Why? What made them act this way? Because they were starting to recognize who Jesus is. This is Jesus who's asking us to do this. He controls the storm with a word. He heals diseases with a touch. And he shares his authority with his disciples. And now he's asking us to trust him again. And if you are his disciple, he asks you to do the same. Jesus says to you, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." That's what he tells you. Are you nervous about witnessing to your classmates or colleagues or friends? Are you afraid to talk to them about Jesus? Here, through this story, Jesus is asking you to pick up the phone, to knock on their door, to walk over and sit next to them. You might be afraid you don't have the resources to say the right thing. But Jesus says to you, "Put yourself in that situation. Trust me, and I will provide." In Matthew's account of Jesus sending out the disciples just before this passage, and Glenn even read it last week as well, but it bears repeating in Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. Jesus says to them, "Don't worry about how or what you are to speak, for you'll be given what to say in that hour, because it isn't you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father who's speaking through you." Jesus asks you to have very difficult conversations. Jesus wanted his disciples to say to the people, "Please, I know we're in the middle of nowhere with no food, but could you sit down and get ready to eat?" What did the crowds think of them? And you might be asked to say, "I understand that you don't believe in God, that you don't like the idea of that we all have a burden of guilt that we can't ignore, but I want you to know that God is seeking you. He gave up his only son to deal with your guilt so that you can be forgiven and set free. He wants you to experience the all-satisfying joy of forgiveness and the new life available through Jesus. Your friend might shun you. Your colleagues might distance themselves from you, but maybe God will work in that person's heart to recognize Jesus as their personal savior. Maybe God will use you to bring someone eternal joy. Don't you want to be part of that?" Jesus asks you to step out in faith. Trust that he will equip you for what you've been asked to do. Don't be anxious. Expect the Holy Spirit to speak, even through you, to communicate the desire Jesus has for every person to be reconciled to God. Jesus is also asking us to trust him together, as a group, as a church. He's asking us to trust him. Miriam sometimes prepares a meal for a crowd at home. And I might come into the kitchen and say, "What can I do?" But if I admit it, I'm not very good at cooking or anything to do with food, apart from eating it. But I can't contribute much when there's a crowd to feed. But I can set the table. I can arrange the chairs and set out the cutlery and put out the glasses. I can prepare things in order to be ready for when the food comes. I can't really provide the food myself, but I can get the table ready so that when the food comes, our guests can enjoy it. I can invite people to come and sit down, pour them a drink, and be prepared to enjoy that food when it comes. That's what Jesus is asking of his disciples. That's what he's asking of us. That's how we are to approach each ministry in the church. We're not to look at mainly music or adventure club or ICTHIS or SUNIS or home group or ladies group or caring for each other or any ministry like it's something we have to bring all the ingredients for to try and cook something up. We have to somehow satisfy the people who come along ourselves. No, we are to prepare for Jesus to provide. We are to act now with confidence that Jesus will show up. We are to set the table. We give whatever we have to offer, no matter how little it might seem, but we trust that Jesus will take the little that we have and multiply it into a meal to feed thousands. Perhaps you've had a rough week. You haven't slept much. You've got other stuff going on in your life, but you're facing into another evening of church ministry, adventure club, or SUNIS. Pray to God. Pray about the need in front of you. Tell him how tired and unprepared you are. But step out in faith. Give what you have. Not hoping that it will be enough, but instead trusting that Jesus will show up. That through you, people would see Jesus' love for them. Recognize his grace for them, offered to them. The disciples could only give 5 loaves and 2 fish. But Jesus used that to keep on giving and giving to satisfy thousands of people. And if you give whatever time and talents you have to him in faith, asking him to use you to reach others with the good news, he can work through however little you have and multiply it. Beyond what you can imagine, he can work miracles through that. So as we think about the ministry needs in our church, the gaps and the need for more people, more time and more resources, it might seem like an impossible request to keep going, to change, to grow, to meet many different needs. That might seem completely out of our league, but Jesus says to you, you give them something to eat. But don't only focus on the mountain ahead of you in these situations. Recognize the voice of the one who's calling you to his work. Go in my name and make disciples. Hudson Taylor, the pioneering missionary to China, said, God's work, done in God's way, will never lack God's supply. So what did the disciples learn about Jesus that day? That he is compassionate, that he cares for people's spiritual and physical needs. He provides. He satisfies the spiritual and physical hunger of thousands. But he doesn't work alone. His disciples identified the crowd's need for food. They said, the people are hungry, the sun's going down. There is need here. But Jesus asks his disciples to act now, trusting that he will provide in the future. Jesus worked a miracle that multiplied food, but he provided for the people through his disciples, using the few resources that they had. And what's God's purpose for his disciples? What's his purpose for us? It's not necessarily that we achieve great things, that we succeed in whatever we do. God's purpose for us is that we bear witness to who Jesus is, his character, his provision. And sometimes when we lack resources, when we are weak in a human sense, it actually emphasizes all the more when Jesus shows up. Because it's Jesus who provides. He provides forgiveness, joy, and lasting fulfillment in places where they shouldn't be. Not because we've earned it, but because he delights to give it. So that's Jesus providing through his disciples. But secondly, I just want to focus, and I think the main focus of the text is actually not that the disciples step out in faith. The focus of this text, the focus of the miracle, is that it is Jesus who provides. Jesus is the one who provides. Another translation says in verse 16, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and he kept giving them to the disciples to set before the crowd. He kept giving. Imagine queuing up for dinner at camp, and just before your plate is filled, the message comes down the line, they're out of food. There's none left for you. Well, that never happens in Jesus' kitchen. There's always more than enough. Jesus' miracle, providing food for thousands of people in the wilderness, it would have rang a bell for the original readers of Luke's gospel. The story resonates with a deeper meaning from the Old Testament. Can you think which one? Can you think what Old Testament story this is referring to or that it echoes with? The Israelites, they followed Moses into the wilderness. There were thousands of hungry people. They were also in a remote place with little food available. The people, like the disciples, grumbled because they thought that God didn't care about their physical needs. But Yahweh miraculously provided bread and meat for his hungry people in the wilderness. We read in Exodus 16 that in the evening, quail birds came and covered the Israelite camp so that they could eat meat. And then in the morning, the ground was covered with flakes that tasted like honey wafers, and they called it manna. Every day, a fresh layer of food covered the camp for people to collect. It was their daily bread, their daily provision. And then if any leftovers were kept until the next day, it would be gone off. It would be full of maggots and smelling. But every Friday morning, double the amount of manna would cover the camp. And then when people kept their leftovers to the next day, the Sabbath, the day of rest, the manna miraculously was preserved and didn't spoil like the other days. And this daily and weekly miracle of provision, it went on for 40 years. I wonder, perhaps the well-fed people on that day after Jesus fed them sat back and considered the 12 basketfuls of leftovers, the same number as the tribes of Israel in the wilderness. Luke, the author, is drawing a line here from Yahweh's miracle of provision to the people of Israel on their exodus. He's drawing a line from there to the miracle of Jesus' provision here. Jesus is demonstrating, I'm the same God, and I'm here for a deeper meaning than food, to fulfill a deeper hunger. Jesus doesn't only feed the physically hungry, but he can miraculously satisfy the deepest spiritual hunger of thousands, of millions. Think about this. How did Jesus perform the miracle and multiply the food? The people were sitting down, the disciples, they were all watching him, all looking at Jesus. Verse 16, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. He gave, and then he gave them to the disciples. Jesus used these same words with his disciples the night before he was crucified. In Luke 22, verse 19, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you." Yahweh demonstrated his character when he provided manna for thousands of Israelites that day after day for 40 years. And Jesus demonstrated the same character when he provided food for thousands of hungry people in the wilderness or in the countryside there. And this same character of God comes into focus at the Last Supper. After the meal is finished, the disciples aren't physically hungry anymore, but Jesus breaks bread as a symbol of what's going to happen the next day. And then he gives, he provides that broken bread to his disciples. We all hunger for something to satisfy our souls, to find something that makes us feel whole, complete. But all the things we try to reach fulfillment or contentment, they don't last. They let us down eventually. We look for satisfaction in having a purpose in life, in the exams we sit in, college or job or career or family or house or car, whatever it is, our satisfaction doesn't last with these things. Perhaps it's a partner or our family, our children, our home. Do these ultimately fulfill your deepest longings? Does lasting joy and satisfaction really exist? Sometimes it feels like everything we feed ourselves with in this world leaves us hungry for more. That's why Jesus calls himself the bread of life. He provides himself. He offers you himself. This is what the miracle of Jesus' death and resurrection was. He gave himself for you, stepping into your place to take what you can't bear yourself, your guilt before a holy God, and to instead give you what you can't reach yourself, divine forgiveness, righteousness before God, being adopted into the children of God, a new spirit within you. This is the lasting satisfaction of the bread of life. He gives the bread of life freely to anyone without finding fault if you acknowledge your hunger for forgiveness, because of your sin, your hunger to be made whole. Jesus gives you himself. He takes your guilt and he replaces it with his own righteousness. He wanted people to question, to think, and to reason who he is. Who is Jesus? And we can see from this text that Jesus provides for his people through his disciples. Jesus provides for the crowds in the same way as Yahweh provided for his people in the wilderness. So who is Jesus? He is God's son, the embodiment of God himself. It's in his character to provide for your physical but also your deepest spiritual needs. He asks you to trust him now for whatever the future holds. Step out in faith, believing that he will provide. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the physical nature of these stories that we can relate to, that we can feel the hunger in our bellies that these people felt. And Lord, as we think about these things, we pray that it would also awaken in us a deeper spiritual hunger to be satisfied only by you. We thank you that you broke that bread and gave it to the disciples as a symbol of your body being broken on the cross. And we thank you that through your resurrection, we can be forgiven and we can be given new life, full and free, with lasting joy, lasting satisfaction. So we worship you, Lord Jesus, for being the provider of all we need. And we look to you in faith and trust for the future. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we have a closing song, but I don't know what it is.